Communities have an array of needs, and it's not just people requiring care, responsive solutions, and compassionate services. Animals and pets have essential requirements too, and organizations like the Niagara SPCA and Humane Society provide resources and services to enhance the human-animal bond that enriches us as individuals and communities. With the goal of keeping animals in caring home settings rather than shelters, the Humane Society team always has the best interest of our four-legged friends and their owners at heart. So what innovative programming does the SPCA provide? What do these letters even stand for? How can we support the work that they do? Joining us today is Tammy Gabry, Animal Care Manager for the Niagara SPCA and Humane Society. So it's time to toss your furry friend their favorite toy and find out what's up, Welland.
Today we are joined by Tammy Gabry of the Niagara SPCA and Humane Society. Tammy is the Animal Care Manager. Thank you so much for joining us on What's Up, Welland.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we know the Humane Society provides services across Niagara municipalities. Nine of them are who you serve. Welland is one of the locations where you have an office. What does SPCA stand for, first and foremost? And then for those of you, or for those who don't know the extent of your services, what is it that you do for all of our municipalities?
Sure, yeah. Well, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, that's what the acronym SPCA stands for. That came about many years ago. I think it's in the 1800s when the government formed the act, which is the SPCA Act. So we used to, as part of our mandate, we did that role within our communities. We were the enforcement, we were the cruelty investigators, on one hand, and on the other hand, we're your charity asking for donations to help us care for the animals in our care. So a few years ago, that all changed because it is the government's act. So it's gone back into the hands of the government. They've taken that act over and now have provincial animal welfare service officers that do the cruelty investigations, the neglect investigation. So it's now off of our plate, which is a huge relief actually for us. We can focus solely on just caring for the animals, rescue and relief, and that's really what our mandate is now. So within our communities, we offer the animal care service provider for all the municipalities that we cover. So we're there for any injuries 24/7, 365 days a year. We're there for stray animals, abandoned animals. They all come into our care. Owner relinquishments, and of course, adoptions, which is one of our biggest roles within our community.
Wow. So you told us a little bit about what the SPCA does. And I would say that's what a lot of people would know of your services. But is there anything that you do that you think maybe would surprise people, or any services that you have that people might be unaware of?
Yeah, absolutely. Like most things, there's an adaptation that happens because our community needs change. So especially during the pandemic, what we saw is a need for keeping animals in homes, really, essentially. And that was being able to provide food or other items that people needed because they were laid off from work or struggling financially. So we put it's our community engagement team together. And so our community engagement team, people could email us, they could call us, and we would deliver curbside or, you know, so that there was no contactless delivery, and we would leave those supplies on their porch or wherever we had designated as the spot to drop off. So it helped keep animals in homes because the last thing we needed was more animals in our shelter. We did a lot of fostering at the start of the pandemic because really, like most people, we didn't know how that was all going to unfold, and we were trying to limit our staff because of the orders that were in place. Having staff driving into work was kind of going against some of the mandates, but we're an essential service, so we needed to have people go in to care for those animals, right? So, and our officers never changed. They were always still on the road throughout the whole pandemic. We never laid off any of our animal control officers. So those services were still being provided for our community members.
You mentioned fostering, mm-hmm. and for me, this was something that I just kind of learned about not too long ago, is that idea of fostering. And well, I guess, first of all, what is fostering in terms of animals? And Is that something that's newer, or is that been going on for quite some time now?
It's been going on for quite some time. I think the pandemic saw the need for getting animals out of shelter and into foster care. Typically, what we strive to put into foster are our nursing mothers, our bottle babies that will come in that are orphaned, cats. Mostly cats. It's not typically something that we do too much with dogs. We don't, like, usually when we get a pregnant dog in or nursing puppies, the mom's with them. Mm-hmm. We're cats, people cleaning out a shed, cleaning out a barn, cleaning out a boat, and come across a litter of kittens, and they bring those kittens into us without a mother. So those are ideally what we strive to get into foster, because they're our most vulnerable in shelter environments. We do see some heartworm in our dogs. So we do put those guys into foster, because the heartworm treatment is extensive. It, from start to finish, it's about 60 days to 90 days to do a heartworm treatment on a dog. So in foster is always better than sitting in shelter, where they can get that round the clock care.
And fostering is just, it's literally, you know, they go to a home until that forever home can be found.
Unless you become a foster failure. So there's several of those as well. But yeah, typically it's just, it depends on the length of time, varies on what age those kittens might be going out into foster. We have kittens that will, at 4 weeks of age going into foster, they only require maybe another 2-3 weeks of foster care. Where a bottle baby, you're talking 8 weeks of round-the-clock care for a bottle baby litter of kittens. So, you know, it's hard on for some people. You know, we struggle with that sometimes, finding appropriate fosters for them. A lot of our staff become fosters, and because we don't have any place, and it's not ideal. They can't stay in the shelter. They need round-the-clock care. So mm-hmm. that doesn't happen in shelter, unfortunately.
And if somebody wanted to become a foster person, mm-hmm. Would they just contact the shelter to find out how that process works, absolutely. What they would need to do?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a foster application that we have anybody that, you know, want to know what your expectations are, what your knowledge is, what your experience has been. So there's an application that we have you fill out, and that way we try to match you up with the best animal for that
right.
program to have you have a great experience as well as being a foster parent.
So Tammy, I mean, there's a lot of value that you bring to our community, the care of the animals. Over and above fostering, what other support do you provide, or how much support do you require to keep your services mm-hmm. going, and fundraising? How do you pay for everything? It sounds like you're not doing light work. How does it all come together? How many bodies get this done?
Yeah, well, it's a lot. So our municipal contracts, they help pay for our day-to-day operations. So our animal care contracts that we have with each municipality, what those cover is 3 days of care for stray animals coming into our care. So a stray cat comes in from the city of Welland for 3 days. That falls under that contract that we have in the services that we provide. After those 3 days, the animal then becomes shelter property, which then it falls on the shelter's budget. So donations is a huge part. Fundraising is a huge part. In the last few years, fundraising has been a struggle. So we're starting to get back into the swing of things, but it's definitely a key component for us is our fundraising and donors. And we have monthly donors, and we have, you know, legacies that come to us. So those help continue the care that we do. We apply for grants. So we have our Haven for Companion Animals, which is another project that's really kind of grown throughout the pandemic. And that was, we've seen people struggling mentally. We've seen people struggling financially and losing their home. So we provide 30 days of free care and boarding at our shelter for people that are going through those circumstances. It's been people in the hospital. It's been people that have been evicted. It's people escaping abusive situations. So that program has really kind of blossomed and grown. We are fortunate enough that Niagara Community Foundations has awarded us a grant this year. So that will help offset some of those costs as well for us, which is huge. Having the community support is huge for us.
Are all the people doing this work, are they paid staff, or do you have a volunteer contingent that lends a hand to everything you do?
We have paid shelter staff. So where our three shelter locations, we operate the Niagara Falls, the Welland, and the Port Colborne shelter, which are all unionized staff members. And then we have our volunteer component, which is our volunteer dog walkers that come in every day and walk and socialize with our dogs. We have our cat adoption center at the Seaway Mall, which is strictly volunteers that operate and run that for us. Because if we had to pay staff, we wouldn't be able to do it. Fiscally speaking, it's not something that we could, you know, cover the overhead costs of all of that. So volunteering is a huge support for us in our shelters.
We chatted a little bit before we hit record, just, you know, trading a couple funny stories about pets we own or pets we know. And I'm sure dealing with the amount of pets that come through the shelter or personal pets that you've had throughout the years, you've probably seen or heard of some great stories, some funny ones, some unbelievable ones. My wife and I, we gave our dog the middle name of Voldemort because of the trouble that he would get himself into and, you know, what he would put us through. Can you share with us any standout stories or instances, whether it's from the shelter or things that you've heard from pets that have been adopted?
Oh, yeah, there's so many. I know for me, unfortunately, we lost him last year due to age, but we had a shelter mascot cat, which I believe he was about 18 years old when he passed, and he came into our shelter as a kitten. So a little black kitten that for some reason everybody overlooked, and then we all fell in love, and then he became Eddie, our mascot cat. And even though Eddie grew up in the shelter, he was our watchdog. So if you ever came to visit the shelter, you would find Eddie laying out front of the door. And if a dog came walking by, like, I had watched Eddie like stalk dogs across the parking lot, across the grass area, and go up and just, you know, get like the fist pumps going. And it was hilarious. And he grew up at the shelter. So you would think that he would be a cat that would be like so chill around dogs. And yet he was a watchdog, and you're too close to my space, and I'm not a happy camper. And he also wound up in a few public people's cars. They'd walk out back to the shelter, had left their windows open, and Eddie was laying in the back seat, and they'd come in and like, somebody put a cat in my car. And I'm like, no, that's the shelter cat. So that's probably the one like in-house that many memories of Eddie doing antics like that, which in the shelter environment, it can be stressful. So to have that lightness of having that mascot cat was, I think, beneficial for all of us staff. So, and other stories, oh my goodness, they're endless. Like you get calls from people like the conversation that we had with your puppy and what you're like, just all the antics that come out of having a new dog in your home or a new cat in your home and a puppy and the ups and downs of all of that. So there's many a story like that.
So is there anything about the SPCA that we haven't covered that you think everyone listening right now should know about? It's your time to, you got the floor.
I'm really proud of our mobile spay neuter clinic. So we started that in 2014, which is crazy to me to think about that. But it was the first mobile veterinarian hospital in the province of Ontario. And to be a part of that and to see that where it's grown to, because there's been other shelters that have now purchased one of those units and also doing that amazing work. And we've traveled as far as Manitoulin Island and spent a week in Manitoulin in a First Nations community offering spay neuter services for a community that struggles, like so many others, to be able to provide vet care for the animals in their community. So that's a program that I'm very proud of. It's been obviously shuttered for the last few years because of COVID. So we're hoping we can start to get that up. Right now we're facing a veterinarian shortage here in the province. I don't know if that's anything that you've heard, but it's a struggle to find either new vets or even being able to get in to see a vet. The demand and the lack of number of new vets is pretty low. So that's been a struggle for us, but we're hoping to get the mobile back out into the communities and even do some local clinics here for some of our lower income senior residents and different things like that.
As far as the adoption process goes, I think, you know, sometimes people, you know, they want that purebred golden retriever or, you know, that that new animal that hasn't, you know, has gone from the breeder right to, you know, the home. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, there's a shelter full of possibilities that people could have for their pet. What are there any stigmas that, you know, you can help break down about, you know, shelter pets or, you know, why going to the SPCA to, you know, maybe pick out your next dog or cat is, mm-hmm. is a better way to go, or maybe not a better way, but just, you know, what can you tell us a little bit about the adoption process first? And then, you know, just the importance of accessing sure. your local shelter yeah. for your pet.
Yeah, especially with dogs, what we try to do is set up multiple meet and greets for you and your family. And if you have another dog in your home, we always recommend that you bring them along as well. So we want to make sure that we're putting the right fit as well. There, people have different expectations. They have different requirements that they would like in bringing an animal into their home. So high energy, low energy, young, old, and we try to figure that out with you. What is it that your life, family lifestyle is, and what will be the best fit for your family? We get so many amazing animals in our shelter every year. And, I know there's a lot of people that are about the purebred and about your little designer dogs and things like that. And I understand that. It just, when you have a lab mix that's sitting in a shelter who has just as much personality as that purebred lab that you would get and pay a lot more money for at a breeder, it just, you're making a difference. You're making a difference in that animal's life, and you're making a difference in another animal's life, because that just opens up space for somebody else to come in that's in need. So I think that's an important part. Your purebreds are wonderful, but they can also come with a lot of health issues, unfortunately. So our Manitoba mixes or our six mixes with the Six Nations, we get some puppies in, like, they're amazing dogs, amazing. And we hear stories all the time of how wonderful and how much of a change it is for a family member to have that animal come into their life.
Well, as I mentioned to you earlier, we adopted our puppy back in 2013 from the Humane Society here in Welland. And yeah, he was a handful, as all puppies are. Don't be fooled. Yes. Purebred or not, they're all handfuls as puppies. But I remember that process for us being amazing, working with you guys from, you know, start to finish, and making sure that, you know, as a puppy, he was set up and ready to go home. And, you know, all the information we needed as new dog owners, sure. You know, for him to be successful, for us to be successful. Mm-hmm. And it's a great avenue to explore.
Yeah. And we're always there. Like, if you, we tell all of our adopters, if there's anything at all that you're struggling with when you take that new animal home, reach out to us, because we have so many support systems in place with different trainers and all that, that we want it to be a successful adoption. So if there's anything that we can do to make sure that it's successful for you and your family, that's our ultimate goal.
Awesome.
So Tammy, we've talked dogs, we've talked cats. Before we get to our ultimate question, do you have a preference, cats or dogs?
Oh goodness. Yeah. That is not one that I am going to answer, because I'll have the dog or the cat people very upset with me. And I have both in my home. Like, I am a foster failure through and through in my own home. So I have both cats and shelter dogs at home. So
you're pro four legs.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. Furry and four-legged. That's all that matters.
Well, Tammy, we can't let you go until we ask, pineapple on your pizza, is it a yes or a no?
Oh, it's an absolute yes for me.
There we go.
I wonder what the pets would say, or if they would. I think they would just eat.
I think they would just
say yeah. Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Dogs, yeah. A cat, no. Yeah. They're a little bit more picky in their palate. Yeah.
Well, I know my dog wouldn't care.
Yeah.
He eats flour.
Mine is the same way.
Awesome. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for joining us. We'll share a link to the SPCA's website when we post the article, or when we post the episode, just so people can easily find their way to you. And again, if they're interested in fostering or learning more, they can access all that information through your website.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. We appreciate it. And we hope to have you back on a future episode.
Absolutely.
It's time to bridge the gap on this week's episode. And thank you again to Tammy for joining us to talk about all things SPCA. One of the things that, as I mentioned, is relatively new to me, but certainly not new in general, was just the idea of fostering a pet. And basically it's, it's a bit of a trial period to see if A, it's a good fit for you, if you're thinking of adopting, or if you're just looking to kind of help out, the shelters with some of their pets that do need kind of a temporary home before they find their forever home. So, I think it's a great idea, that exists, and it's an option for people to, like I said, either, give it a bit of a trial run or just help out in any way they can. So, as Tammy mentioned, there's an application form, there's a bit of a process to determine the appropriate, foster scenario. So if you are interested, make sure to check them out. And as mentioned, we will put their website in a link when we post the episode. But Paul, anything in particular for you?
What I appreciated about having Tammy join us today was learning about the staff and the volunteers and just the care and heart they put into what they do for those in our community that don't have a voice themselves, but still need care and support and service. And people are willing to show up for them. And if an SPCA didn't exist, these animals wouldn't have an advocate and wouldn't have the care and support that they need. So I just appreciate knowing that an organization like this exists, and it is staffed and volunteered by people with just heart and the interest in well-being for people and their pets and beloved animals.
Well, I will say it's amazing how many guests that we've had on so far, and we talk about their volunteers in some capacity. And I think the volunteer base here in the city of Welland is just, it's incredible, right? We hear it time and again from different people how their services and programs wouldn't be possible without the volunteers that they have, and they're running because those volunteers are showing up. So again, no different here, and especially giving voice and advocacy to those furry friends of ours who can't speak up for themselves is incredibly important. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode of What's Up Welland, and we will catch you next time.